This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
I mean, he just sent the Holy Ghost right then, bam, and baptized them with the Holy Ghost, and he fell upon them. And the gifts came upon them. They began to prophesy. They began to speak in tongues. They began to magnify God. All these things happened because the Holy Ghost fell upon all them. And it says, and Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we have, just like we did? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So here is another way in Acts chapter 10. There was one way in Acts chapter 8. There was one way in John chapter 20. There was another way in Acts chapter 2, another way in Acts chapter 8, and now another way in Acts chapter 10. Well, see, everywhere we go in the Word, we see that God is doing different things by the magnificent power of the Holy Ghost. So don't try to put him in a box. These people here, they had not even confessed Jesus as Lord. They hadn't confessed outwardly that they were believers. But yet they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesying, magnifying God, and speaking in tongues. Then they became believers. Technically speaking, I believe within their hearts they had already become believers, but it doesn't say that. It says that after the Holy Ghost came upon them and the gifts came upon them, then Peter said it's obvious these men should be baptized because they have received the Holy Ghost just as we have. And so this is another way it happened. Then, let's go to Acts chapter 19, and let's see another way this happened. And this is Paul, an experience Paul had. It says in Acts 19:1, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, in other words, he has just passing through there, he is at Corinth, and he's come to Ephesus, and here at Ephesus, he's finding people that say they believe in Jesus. They say they're disciples of Jesus. Why do people tell you that? It's because Paul is, he's the way all of us should be. Paul, wherever he goes, he wants to talk about Jesus. He's telling everybody about Jesus. He's telling people how wonderful Jesus is. He's showing them who he is. And as he talks to people, they said, well, we have received Jesus as our Savior. We're disciples of Christ. He said, good. He said to them, then listen to this. Now, these people have just got through telling him they are disciples of Christ. They're believers in Jesus. Now then, if there is no such thing as a second event called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then why in the world would the most awesome apostle, Paul, why would he ask such a silly question if there was no such thing as a second event, as a baptismal power of the Holy Ghost? But listen to what Paul said. In verse 2, Acts 19:2, Paul said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Now, if the baptismal power of the Holy Ghost was not the power of the Holy Ghost was not a second event, why would Paul have asked that question? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you get all the Holy Ghost you're ever going to get, then why in the world would Paul ask this question? To me, of course, as an engineer, it would be like me asking you, you go out and buy a new car. Well, now you can buy a new car without air conditioning. So I could ask you a question, did you get air conditioning on your new car? And it wouldn't be a crazy question. You could say yes or no. But what if I asked, did you get an engine in your new car? You can't buy a car without an engine. A car doesn't run without an engine. So you never ask a question like that. That's something you get when you get the car. An engine comes with the car. But air conditioning may not come with the car. You can get it with it or without it. So, Paul asked this question to the believers, these people that profess to be believers. He said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost." Now see, that was my problem, being raised up in the church I was raised up in. I didn't know. So how can you receive something by faith that you don't even know is available? That's why I didn't walk in healing for the first 30, 40 years of my life, because I didn't learn from the Word of God or from church or from anywhere else that Jesus had provided my healing for me on the cross. I didn't know that. But when I got a hold of it and I realized it was mine and I received Jesus as my healer 20-something years ago, praise God, by faith, I received a promise I learned well over 20 years ago, and I've not had one single sick day since that day. Now, praise God. Now, that I didn't try to do it. I didn't see if it would work. I knew it would work because it was in the Word of God. I believed it. I confessed it with my mouth, and I believed with my heart that it was real, and it became a real item to me. And so that's how the whole Word of God works. You don't try Jesus. You do Jesus. Then he said, when he said, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said they didn't even know there was such a thing. And then in verse 3, he said unto them, "Well, unto what then were you baptized?" In other words, and they said unto him, "We were baptized into John's baptism." Well, Paul said, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance." This is all he did. "Saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." That's just exactly what happened to me in the Baptist church. I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Paul, but they didn't get anything. It says, and then when Paul had laid his hands upon them. Now this is a later event. He's baptized all the people. And now then he lays his hands upon them. And he says, and after Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now, how did these men receive the Holy Spirit? A different way than they did in all these other places. You see, there's many different ways to receive the Holy Spirit. Whenever Jesus breathes on you, you can receive the Holy Ghost. Whenever the Holy Spirit can come upon you, a bunch of you can get together and pray and believe God, and the Holy Spirit can fall upon you. You can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then somebody can pray over you and lay hands on you, and you can receive the Holy Ghost. You can just be in a church service worshiping and praising God and believing, and the Holy Spirit can just come upon you and baptize you in the Holy Ghost. He can do all these things. Or even here, like Paul, after he preached to these people, after they'd already received salvation, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were baptized in the name of John, and then they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on them by faith, they received the magnificent infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Now then, and it says in, when Paul laid his hands on them, they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. And then he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Amazing. Paul went in and day in and day out for 3 months proclaimed Jesus to these people. But it says, but some of these people were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. And that's what's wrong with us today. We've been so steeped in what somebody else has told us that once that we even hear and see the written word of God, we won't believe it. But it says, and because they were hardened, they believed not, and they spoke evil of that way before the multitude. So Paul departed from them, and he separated the disciples, and he continued by the space of 2 years. So all that was dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. It's amazing how you have to stay so long to teach the word. I've heard many people say, but I read the Bible. And so I don't need to read it again. Let me tell you, this is a book that's alive. You can read this book. You can read this book the rest of your life and never master this book. This is the most awesome book. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, it says, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles, which he had chosen. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the ends of the world. When you have no power, if you're a Christian and you're not seeing miracles and you're not living a manifested, awesome life, then you need to repent for your sins of unbelief. You need to soften your heart, and then you need to come to God and you need to ask Him to fill you. In fact, after all these different ways we've saw that the power of the Holy Ghost could come upon people, we see that there's no limits as to how God can do it. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it's clearly, Luke clearly tells us, to anyone that will call by faith upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Father in the name of Jesus to baptize you or fill you with the Holy Spirit, He will in no wise turn you away. So He finally, although we see all these different ways, all these different people receive the Holy Spirit, there is no limit to how God can do it. But He made it so simple in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. He clearly says, just ask the Father in the name of Jesus to fill you with the mighty Holy Spirit. And if you will do that by faith, if it is written, if you come to the Father and say, look, Father, in Jesus' name, I want this magnificent and filling power of the Holy Spirit. I have never received this that I know. But today, by faith in your word, you made me a promise in Luke 11:13 that if I will ask, you will do it. So I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to fill me right now with the mighty Holy Spirit. And I believe I've received it. It's mine in Jesus' name. Now then, thank Him for doing it for you. And get up and go out and begin to do something for the kingdom of God. When you go out and start reading the word of God, you start witnessing to people. I have the power to witness. I am a son or a daughter of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Nothing is impossible with me because I am a son of God. Or I'm a daughter of God. And start speaking that. Start laying hands on the sick and saying, be healed in the name of Jesus. And start trusting God. And if you'll trust Him, you'll see Him do great and awesome things in your life.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.